Martin Luther's favorite psalm. You may say, as I thought, that it was Psalm 46. After all, Martin Luther wrote the famous hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, based on Psalm 46. But if you said that Psalm 46 was Martin Luther's favorite psalm, you and I would be wrong. Martin Luther's favorite psalm was Psalm 118, the psalm that we're going to examine today. In the preface of his 60-page exposition on this psalm, Luther wrote these words, "This is my own beloved psalm. Although the entire Psalter and all of the Holy Scriptures are dear to me, as my only comfort and source of life, I fell in love with this psalm especially. Therefore, I call it my own. When emperors and kings, the wise and the learned, and even saints could not aid me, this psalm proved a friend and helped me out of many great troubles. As a result, it is dearer to me than all the wealth, honor, and power of the Pope, the Turk, and the Emperor. I would be most unwilling to trade this psalm for all of it." Now, we don't have time today to explore this beautiful psalm in detail, but I do hope to give you a bird's eye view. I want to make a few brief introductory comments about Psalm 18 before we get into it, however. First, it's one of 50 anonymous psalms. That is, we don't know who wrote it, and because we don't know who wrote it, we don't actually know the context for when this psalm was written. It's the last of the six psalms that are known as the Egyptian Hallel Psalms. Hallel is a word you may recognize, hallelujah, and it means praise. And so the Egyptian Hallel Psalms praise God for his redemption of his people from Egypt in the Exodus to the temple in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. The six psalms making up the Egyptian Hallel are Psalms 113 to Psalm 118, and they were sung during the Passover meal. The first two psalms, Psalms 113 and 114, were sung before the meal, and Psalms 115 through 118 were sung after the meal was eaten. And so, Psalm 118, the psalm we're going to look at today, was the last psalm that Jesus sang when he celebrated the Passover meal before his arrest and betrayal and crucifixion that night and the next day. Also, Psalm 118, if you are looking at a Bible, a hard copy Bible rather than a digital copy, it's easier to see. Psalm 118 is actually between the shortest psalm, Psalm 117, only two verses, and Psalm 119, which is the longest psalm, 176 verses. Now, Psalm 118 may have been used during the temple's foundation when it was laid in the days of Ezra. This is when the exiles returned from Babylon. Psalm 118 mentions, verse 22 mentions a cornerstone of the temple, and Ezra 3, verses 10 and 11 says this, "And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments came forward with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the directions of David, king of Israel. And they sang responsively, praising and giving thanks to the Lord." And here's what they sang. "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid." And you're going to see those words in just a moment. So Psalm 118 was used for public worship, particularly during the celebration of the Passover meal. Commentator Warren Wiersbe, whose outline I'm following, writes these words. He says the pronouns I and me in verses 5 through 21 refer to the nation of Israel and not to the psalmist. But the psalm speaks to all believers in every age and gives them four practical instructions for God's steadfast love. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. So if you're able, I invite you to stand as I read to you from the Word of God in Psalm 118, beginning at verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me. Surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed are you, God of all creation. You spoke in the beginning, and all things came to be. You spoke, and your word came to live with us, full of grace and truth. Bless this place where we would hear your voice. Bless this place where we would hear your story. And as we listen, may our ears be attuned to you. As the word is spoken, may you speak to us. May all we hear lead us to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Psalm 118 gives us several practical instructions about praising God for his steadfast love. And the first practical instruction about praising God for his steadfast love is to thank the Lord in every situation. Thank the Lord in every situation. In verse 1, the psalmist says, Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. And each of the following three verses also says, His steadfast love endures forever. And in addition, the very last verse of Psalm 118 also says, "For his steadfast love endures forever." So giving thanks to the Lord is one of the purposes of the Hallel Psalms. The psalmist wanted the people of God to know that in all places and at all times and in all communities, they were to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Why give thanks to the Lord? For he's good, and his steadfast love endures forever. The people of Israel were to thank the Lord for all the blessings and privileges he had bestowed on them. The religious leaders, the house of Aaron, were to thank the Lord for the great privilege of serving him in his sanctuary. And all those who fear the Lord, God's people, were to thank the Lord for giving them faith and repentance. My dear brother and sister in Christ, you and I should thank the Lord. For as Paul said, God has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The steadfast love of the Lord is chesed. It's his covenant love. It's his special love for his people. One of the things I struggle to understand when people have something go wrong in their lives, something goes badly wrong and they accuse God for bringing that about or for not answering their prayers. On what basis? Why do people do that? The problem is never, never with God. He is good. He's always good. His steadfast love for his own especially endures forever. No calamity or crisis can change God's goodness and love. The second practical instruction about praising God for his steadfast love is to trust the Lord in every crisis. Trust the Lord in every crisis. In 537 BC, the people of God were in captivity in Babylon. And that's why the psalmist said in verse 5, "Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered and set me free." And 50,000 people were allowed to leave Babylon and return to Judah and Jerusalem. And so the people laid the temple's foundation in 536 BC. But the surrounding nations interfered because they didn't want the temple and the walls of Jerusalem to be rebuilt. And so for 16 years, nothing happened until 520 BC. The psalmist captured the attitude of the peoples in verses 6 and 7. And they said, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me." In 520 BC, the work resumed and the temple was completed in 516 or 515 BC. The Lord is mentioned in every single one of the verses between verses 5 and 14. He is the one who protected the people of God from their enemies and who enabled them to complete their work in very challenging circumstances. And so the people of God learned to trust in him, not in people, not in politicians, as verses 8 and 9 say. And I want you to pay careful attention to these words. Look at them, verses 8 and 9. "It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes." As a side note, these two verses are at the very center of the entire Bible. Some of you have studied chiasms, and if you're into chiasms and so on, this would be the main point of the Word of God. It's better to trust in the Lord than to trust in man or to trust in princes. Verses 10 through 13 emphasize the Lord's protection of his people. Verse 14 explains why the Lord can be trusted in every situation. "The Lord is my strength. and my song. He has become my salvation. And this is the song that the people of God sang when God delivered them out of Egypt, and when he enabled them to rebuild the city walls and the temple. And this is the song that the people of God sang in every crisis. He is my strength and my song, because he has become my salvation. So I say, my dear brother and sister, you may be going through a crisis right now. You may be facing a significant challenge in your life. Maybe a health issue. It may be a relationship. Maybe a loss of earnings or a loss of a job or something that I haven't mentioned. Let me encourage you to trust in the Lord in every crisis you face. The third practical instruction about praising God for his steadfast love is to glorify the Lord after every victory. Glorify the Lord after every victory. After the temple and the Jerusalem walls were dedicated, the people of God glorified him for restoring the city and the temple. So the people sang in verses 15 and 16, glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. In verse 17, the people sang, I shall not die, but shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Look at that verse again. Verse 17, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. Martin Luther had this verse put on a poster and posted in the wall of his study so that he could see it and read it and meditate on it every time he was in his study. He called it a masterpiece and added these words. He says, the psalmist so immerses himself in life that death is swallowed up in it by life and disappears completely because he clings with a firm faith to the right hand of God. Thus all the saints have sung this verse and will continue to sing it to the end. So far as the world is concerned, they die. Yet their hearts say with a firm faith, I shall not die, but live. And even if I were to die, I will go to be with the Lord, and I will live eternally, and I will recount to all of the brothers and sisters in glory the wonderful deeds of the Lord and all that he has done for me. And so the psalmist writes in verse 21, I thank you that you've answered me and have become my salvation. Is this not the song on every believer's tongue? God answers when we call out to him. He has become our salvation. If you are in Christ, you are with him, you belong to him, nothing can harm you for eternity because you are in Christ. So you can glorify God after every victory. And then finally, the fourth practical instruction about praising God for his steadfast love is to see the Lord in every experience. During Ezra's time, the temple was rebuilt. And during the construction of this temple, of course, in those days, they didn't have bricks that were neatly stacked. They used stones that were quarried and they were brought there. And there were large stones and small stones, and some were good and some were poor. And perhaps one of the stones that had been overlooked and rejected actually became the temple's cornerstone. And so verse 22 says, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, I want to make a comment about that word, cornerstone. In some Bibles, it's rendered as capstone. In that seminary, in the Greek class, this word came up, and cornerstone and capstone seem to have been used interchangeably. And having just been in the construction industry, I was familiar with a cornerstone and a capstone. And I remember arguing my case to the professor and the rest of the class that a capstone is a stone, it's a finishing stone that goes on top of a wall or a parapet. It caps the structure that is underneath it. It's a capstone. A cornerstone, on the other hand, is a stone that is set out on the corner of the building. It is the most important stone in the entire building, because if it is out of alignment, the entire building is out of alignment. That's why the word is a cornerstone and not a capstone. The Apostle Peter made it clear that the cornerstone that was rejected by the Jewish people was Jesus. As he said in Acts 4:11, this Jesus is the stone you rejected, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. By his death, resurrection, and ascension, Jesus has become the church's cornerstone, building believers from all nations into one holy temple in him. And so in verse 25, the people of God saying, "Save us, we pray, O Lord." That Hebrew word for save us is one you know. Hosanna. Where did they sing that song? On Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, about to be betrayed, arrested, crucified. The people sang this in verse 26, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The people sang better than they knew. Psalm 118 points us to Jesus. His triumphal entry on Palm Sunday, verses 25 and 26. His rejection in verse 27. His death and resurrection in verse 17. And his exaltation as God's chosen cornerstone in verses 22 and 23. So seeing the Lord in every experience is essential, so that these experiences will help us become more and more like Jesus. So thank the Lord in every situation. Trust the Lord in every crisis. Glorify the Lord after every victory. And see the Lord in every experience of your life. And as you do so, you will praise God for his steadfast love, and continue to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you so much for these wonderful words that point us to Jesus and who he is and what he has done and become for us by his life, death, and resurrection and ascension. I pray that you would help every one of us to praise you for your steadfast love, for the many ways in which you are so good to each one of us. May we live in such a way that we bring you honor and glory. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.